Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357 all the stanzas. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1 through 4 of Psalter 357.
We wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, from Psalm 119. But before that, the law as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 25 to 32. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Henry van Hagenbos, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Reverend Vogelaar also received surgery, which went well, and he was able to return home again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of the earth, who art our creator and also our provider, and who dost uphold this entire universe and givest unto us such a beautiful morning, a beautiful Sabbath day, wherein we may come up unto thy house of prayer. Thou dost give thy servant to write, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. O Lord, grant unto each and every one of us who are given to come up into thy courts in this day also this blessing, that we may be enabled to draw nigh unto thee. For we are created by thee, the height of thy creation, and given by Thee that ability to commune with Thee. But we have cast it all away in our father Adam. Wilt Thou show to us the greatness of our need? Show to us the greatness of our misery, that we have left Thee, and that we cannot draw nigh to Thee any more, except that it be in and through Thy only begotten Son. Oh, that Thou may show to us our wretchedness, and that Thou may open unto us also what Thou hast done to make a way for those who have sinned against Thee to return again into Thy blessed favor and Thy communion. O Lord, we have no desire for it by nature, and of ourselves we do nothing but wander from Thee and Thy truth. And we need to be brought in the right way by Thee, and we need to be kept in that way also by Thee. Wilt Thou remember young and old together in the state wherein we have been born, for we cannot die in such a way. And Lord, Thou hast given unto us Thy Sabbath day. Thy foundation is in the holy mountains. O Thou givest that the gates of Zion are more to Thee than all the dwellings of Jacob. And we are come into these gates in this morning hour, and we can only beseech of Thee, O Lord, that Thou may do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, because we bring here nothing but ourselves in all our sin and in all our wretchedness and in all our carnality and in all our misery. We are those who have died in our father Adam, and we are condemned to that death that is also temporal and eternal. O Lord, that Thou may deliver us, and that Thou may give to us that life that never dies, that Thou may give such desires in the hearts of our children and young people, that they may remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and that they may also have a desire to forsake the world and all that is therein, that they may return unto their Creator. O Lord, that Thou may give it to each and every one of us who do seek the things of time and sense, except that Thou dost stop us upon our way. O that Thou may do as Thou hast done even unto a Saul of Tarsus so long ago, and when he did go on in the way of his Phariseeism and his religion and in all of his hypocrisy, and then thinking that he was in the way and he was so out of the way. O Lord, Thou didst stop him in a moment. Thou didst speak his name, that it came with power unto his own soul in a personal way. Oh, that Thou may give us each and every one in this morning hour also to hear our own name, and that Thou would speak it unto us, and that Thou would bring us low before Thee, and that we may be taken off of that broad way that leadeth unto destruction, and that we may be brought in through that straight gate and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. That Thou may look upon parents in all their responsibilities to instruct their children also in these ways. For we are those who are ever cleavers unto this world, and we need that Thou wouldst direct us each and every moment, that we may set an example not only, but that we also may speak out of our hearts unto our children, and that they may learn that true and tender fear of thy name in their in the days of their youth. Remember our teachers and our school to that end also, that they may be used as instruments in thy holy fingers for the education, and for could it even be the conversion of our children, that there may yet be a word that is read, that is spoken even day by day, that may be for the influence in a saving way. Remember all those that have become old, that are sick, that are ailing, that have difficulties of the mind and of the body. Wilt thou remember them in the nursing homes there that they are? Oh, that thou wouldst look upon them also some in their own homes. Oh, Lord, that thou thyself may supply in the needs of mind and body. For thou hast created us, O Lord, and thou art able also to uphold and to strengthen. But we need to be taught upon our journey, which will not last here forever. We go, each one of us, unto our long home, that these afflictions also may be for the instruction of the soul upon our journey, and that we may learn those heavenly lessons by thy Holy Spirit, that we cannot miss between the cradle and the grave. Remember all those that bring thy word this thy holy day. Wilt thou increase their number, and wilt thou bless that word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Remember thou thy servant who may receive surgery in this week. Thou hast spared him, and we ask of thee that thou may yet do so for his family, but also for us as a denomination, that he may be able to go out yet in and out among us, and that he may bring thy word and instruct the students of the theological school. And may thou bless him, and may thou increase his strength, and may thou grant him a favor, a blessing in his soul this Sabbath day. Wilt thou be with the parents who have received out of thy hand another special gift? It is the gift of life that we cannot give unto one another, but that thou hast given unto them once again. Wilt thou strengthen mother and child alike, and give that it may be a child born to be born again? Oh, wilt thou a humble grandparents also under all thy blessings? And wilt thou cause us to come at thy footstool therewith? Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us? Lord, thou knowest how strong that the devil is. He is too mighty for us, but thou art above everything. Oh, turn us again unto thy word and unto thy testimonies. Wilt thou cause that all that is against thee and thy word may be put away, and that thou thyself may have mercy upon us as nations, that we may be brought back to thy word and to thy testimony? Wilt thou look upon us as a congregation, even in this thy holy day? And wilt thou give in this hour, also in this afternoon hour, that thou may give thy word a place in our hearts? Do strengthen us to bring that word, that we may receive a voice to speak, but also a heart that is filled with matter, that we may not be able to close our mouth, but that we may be given to speak as a dying man unto dying men. And that thou thyself, O Lord, may be glorified in the conversion of our hearts and in the leadings of all thy people. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. And while your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 380 all the stanzas. By Babel's riverside, we sat in tears, remembering Zion's pride in former years, while on the weeping willows there were hung the harps our grief had silenced and unstrung. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 380, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text can be found in the aforeread portion, Psalm 119, and thereof the 25th verse. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So far the words of our text, which speak of a living desire in the midst of a dead condition. First, the dead condition, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And second, the living desire, quicken thou me according to thy word. A living desire in the midst of a dead condition. At first, the dead condition, and second, the living desire. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. What is that, my soul? Young people, you know the answer to that question. There are several faculties, we say, to our soul. That is our mind and our heart. And our heart that is the love or the affections and the will. Thus the soul, the mind and the affections and the will. My soul cleaveth, it says, unto the dust. What does that mean, to cleave? That means to stick. That means to hold fast. Children, when you have seen sometimes maybe a little bit of moss on a rock, you try to take that off. That is not so easy, because that moss that is sticking so fast to that rock. Now the psalmist, he says, my soul that is cleaving, my soul that is sticking, as it were. And sticking unto what? It is sticking unto the dust. What is dust? That is the earth, that is the dry earth, that is the ground, that is the rubbish. Thus the psalmist, he says, my soul, my heart, my thoughts, my mind, my affections, my understanding, that is all cleaving. It is sticking hard fast to that which is rubbish, that is what is worldly. That was the complaint of David. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Our body that is made of the dust. That is what we read in the creation, right, children? The Lord, he took of the dust of the ground, and he has made the body of a man. And when that body was made, well, there is something that was not yet made. That was not made out of the dust. Body was out of the dust, but he did not yet have a soul. And that soul did not come from the dust, but the Lord, he has breathed into man, and so he became a living soul, we read. Thus, that was the breath of God. It was the breath of the living God, so that man, he became a living soul. That living soul that did not cleave unto the dust, but that living soul that clave unto the Lord. It clave unto the Lord God, according to that law, we read, that was written in the heart of that man, the law of the Lord. What was that law? To love God above all, and our neighbor as ourself. So that scribe, the Lord Jesus, he says, he answered discreetly. What is that love to the Lord? That is to love the Lord with all my soul and with all my understanding and with all my heart and with all my strength. And that was then fulfilled in that first creation. Who can imagine what that was? For our mind, to be the greatest pleasure for our mind to contemplate the Lord, to contemplate all His attributes, to think upon His majesty and upon His greatness, and to meditate upon His goodness and upon His love. Oh, to meditate also upon all His commandments and His statutes. The understanding of a man that is desiring more and more knowledge. More and more knowledge, not of all the dust, but more and more knowledge of the true, of the living God, who that He is. The mind, the affections, the love of man going out unto the Lord. That is the love of the soul that is delighting in the communion with the Lord. Delighting in the love of the Lord, basking in that love and desiring that He may be nearer and nearer unto God, that He may commune with Him. The mind, the understanding, the affections, the love of the heart, the will so one with the will of the Lord, so that the Lord, He cannot do anything wrong. That whatever that the Lord desired, your mind, that is not against your own will. We are in agreement with our own will. Are we not children? Sometimes you are not in agreement maybe with your father's will. You do not want to do your father's will or your mother's will. There was a mother. She had to discipline her child one day. And that boy, he said, "Mother, I have my own will." And that mother said to him, "Children in hell are children who have their own will." Oh, we are in agreement with our own will. Oh, is that not a pleasant thing when you are in agreement with your father's will? When you are in agreement with your mother's will? Because then there is such peace, is there not? There is peace in your house, and there is also peace in your heart. And that is now the way that the Lord has created us, that we were one with the will of the Lord, so that whatever that the Lord willed, that was just the same will that we had within our own heart. And so there was such a rest, and so there was such a peace that was living in the heart and that was evident in the life of man. What a change. What a change that the fall has brought unto mankind. What kind of change? You learn it in catechism, children. What kind of change? What was the threat upon sin in paradise? Death. Threefold death. You say, did Adam die? He did die. Right away. Immediately upon his sin. Not yet the temporal death. Not yet the eternal death. But how did he die? He died the spiritual death. What did that affect? That affected his mind. That affected his heart. That affected his will. That affected the love that was living in his heart, because there is nothing anymore. There is nothing anymore in fallen man that is seeking after the Lord. Do you know what the Lord says? God is not in all his thoughts. Is that not so? How was that now in the week that is gone by? Or was God in our thoughts? Maybe when we have tried to bend our knees a little while. Maybe when we have tried to read the word a little while. And then we have gone off again and done our labors, and we did our work in school, and we played. And then God? No, then God is not in all our thoughts. Sometimes we sing with Asaph, and he has written, "The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase." So that is in the heart of each and every one of the children of this world in a special way, because a guilty conscience that does not desire to think upon God. You do not either, children, do you, when you have been naughty? You do not want to think about father or about mother and meeting them again, do you? Then you push those thoughts out of your mind because you say then you will be punished. And that is the way it is with us. We do not want to think about meeting God because our conscience that says that we are guilty and that says that we are going to be punished by him. God is not in all his thoughts, his mind, that is affected by death. And indeed, evil thoughts, they are coming out of our hearts. What does the Lord Jesus say? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's why do we not think upon the Lord? It is because we do not love the Lord. When there is love, then there are thoughts of our loved ones because of that love. Then they are drawn to them. And we do not think upon the Lord because our hearts do not love the Lord. What does fallen man now love? Well, he loves the dust. His soul that cleaves to the dust. His soul that is cleaving unto all that is in this world. John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Lord Jesus, he says, he cannot serve God and mammon. Man, he cannot serve two masters. And we all know that all those things, they are going to soon be passing away. We read that in God's word. We hear that Sabbath after Sabbath, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return thither. The world passeth away, and all the lust thereof. And yet, we will not forsake the world. Maybe a good intention here or there, but we will not forsake the world and every former friend. We will not make that good choice, as we read of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And why not? Well, we will not. We will not seek after God. That is our depraved will. That is part of that death. The death in the mind. The death in the affections. The death in the will. So that the entire soul that is dead and it does not seek after the Lord, what is that? That is that spiritual death, that soul death, whereby our soul that cleaveth unto the dust. That is an awful state. That is the state that we have fallen into in paradise. That is the state that we have been brought into by our covenant head, original sin. That is the state of condemnation, in which we are condemned by our judge. And there is yet only one of those congregation that has as yet taken place for us, because there are two more to come. Two more to come. When we would end our life as we have begun it. Because following that spiritual death is also a temporal death. And following that temporal death is also an eternal death. And then it is not only condemnation to death, but it is also a condemnation to punishment. That is the wrath of the Lord. Is that not just? What is that wrath? That is to be without Him. No, not without Him altogether, because the psalmist, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Oh, if hell could be but a place where there was neutrality, then it would not be so bad. But it is not so. It is a place wherein the favor of the Lord is absent. It is a place wherein the blessing of the Lord is absent, but it is also a place wherein the wrath of the Lord that is present, and thus the presence of the Lord that will be felt even to all eternity, but also the common graces that we receive day by day, a day will be taken away, the food and the drink and so on. Is it not just? Why? Because the Lord has made us to cleave unto Him, a children, just like that moss that is cleaving unto a rock. But what do we do? Oh, let your own thoughts go, boys and girls, because that is not too difficult for you this morning. And when you will only consider it in your young life, what do you desire in your life? We go to church, we pray, we read the Bible, that is true, but what is now living in your heart? What are your thoughts? What is your will? What is the love of your heart? Is it not cleaving like that moss to a rock? Is it not cleaving to everything that is dust here below? My soul that cleaveth unto the dust. Of whom is that true? That is true of each and every man in his natural state, each and every man in his unregenerate state. There is no exception. There is not a single man. You say, I come to church, I pray, I read, and yet our soul that cleaveth unto the dust, different objects. Perhaps instead of things, this and that in the world, it is the ceremonies and the forms in the church. And yet, do you ever feel it, congregation? How empty that our religion is, with all its forms and with all its customs, that it is leaving us still without God in this world. No, there is not a single man, though he be a publican, though he be a Pharisee, there is not a single man in the whole world to whom that this does not appertain, that my soul that cleaveth unto the dust. But who says this here? Who says this here? That is David. That is a remarkable thing. And why is that so remarkable? Because David is a man of whom the Lord, not just David, no. It is a man whom the Lord has spoken of. That is a man that the Lord says is a man after my own heart. Are you after the heart of the Lord? Does the Lord say this also in heaven of you? That is a man, that is a young person, that is a girl, that is a boy who is after my heart, that was already young people in the days of his youth, that the Lord has spoken so of this David. As you say, David, he is not an unregenerate man. He is not a man of this world. That is a man who is born again. That is a man in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. That is a man who has been regenerated. by the Lord. And what do our fathers say of this regeneration? They say several things. Let us listen. In the first place, that is in the canons of Dort, they say that the Lord, He powerfully illuminates their minds by the Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand the things of the Spirit of God. That is in the first place. That is the faculty of the soul, which we call the mind. And that mind from being darkened, and that mind from not understanding, that mind that had no desire to contemplate, that mind is powerfully illuminated. The Lord is giving light in that mind, so that that mind begins to understand things rightly, it says. The things of the Spirit of the Lord, they begin to be understood in a different way, in a right way. In the second place, it speaks about the affections. It says that the Lord, He pervades the innermost recesses of the man and opens the closed and softens the hardened heart. That is, the Lord does not only illuminate the mind to rightly understand, but the Lord, in working, He is working in every faculty of the soul. That is, that the Lord is also softening that heart. Did the Lord ever soften your heart? Our heart is soft in love to one another. And the heart that becomes broken, broken in love unto the Lord. In the third place, our fathers say that He infuses new qualities into the will, that He quickens it from being evil, disobedient, and refractory. He renders it good, obedient, and pliable. Thus, we have the third faculty of that soul, that is the will. The Lord, He is quickening that will. He makes it from an evil will unto a good will, a desire to choose the things now which are right. Thus, what is regeneration? That is to deliver the soul, the mind, the affections, and the will, to deliver the soul from death, and to make that soul alive. Congregation, did the Lord ever deliver your soul from death, to make it alive? What does that mean? What will be the fruits of this? Well, that dead man, we heard, he is cleaving unto the dust. And from cleaving unto the dust, he begins again to cleave unto the Lord, the same as the Lord has created him, thus by renewal. What a wonderful renewal. The soul will feel those things. You do not need to think that a person can ever be converted by the Lord without knowing anything about it, without experiencing something in his mind, in his affections, in his will, in his choices. David, he says, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, did that ever become the law or the word? the Word ever become your meditation all the day? Is that not a different life? Is that not a different life than that life where man, he has no thought upon God? From this to thy law, thy Word, that is my meditation all the day. Is that not a great change? Is there not a great change also in the love of the heart, in the affections of the heart? What does David say? He says, thy word that is sweet. It is sweet unto my taste. I do not only meditate upon it and love to meditate upon it and to increase in the knowledge of that God whom I miss. But that word of God that is sweet unto my taste, I taste it. And it is even sweeter, children, than honey to my mouth. Do you ever have a little honey in your mouth? They're not sweet. You say, Mother, may I have a little more honey? Well, did that word, the word of the Lord, ever become sweet unto your taste? Even sweeter than honey in your mouth. The Lord, congregation, has created us for this. The Lord, He has created us for that communion with Him. And then you can believe that if the Lord gives to us that new birth, that regeneration, that a man is going to feel something. He is going to feel how that the Lord brings him back unto the very purpose of his entire being. When a fish is out of water, cannot swim. Oh, that fish, he desires to be in that water. He belongs in that water. And now there is something through all the wretchedness of man that is experienced. Oh, then there is still something. When the Lord, He is drawing that soul by the cords of a man with the bands of love. And when the Lord is pouring out that love, and when the Lord is giving something of that communion, that a man is feeling something, how that the Lord returns him back to that very purpose that He has created him for. And then there is a certain peace. There is a certain rest. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, there is no peace for the wicked. But what does the Lord do in the regeneration of the soul? Then He is affecting the will, the desires of a man, to make that will to be in agreement with the will of the Lord. And when our will is in agreement with the Lord's will, there is nothing that the Lord can do wrong in our life. Nothing at all. Then everything that the Lord does is good. What did Eli say concerning his own sons? That was his flesh and blood. But he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, that regeneration of the soul, or that making of the soul alive from the dead. The Lord Jesus, He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break forth and steal. For, He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so it becomes that treasure the treasure that is then in the heavens. It is not any longer in the dust. No, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. That is what is living in the heart of that people. Then especially in the revelations, later in his only begotten Son, where they may say that he is to me altogether lovely, he is the chiefest among 10,000, then it is a people whose treasure that is in heaven. Is your treasure in heaven? So that was also with David, was it not? And yet what do we read here? What does David say? He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. You say, how can that be? Was David then a dead man? Did not David receive life in his soul? Was David's treasure not in heaven? This complaint, this soul complaint of David, that does not come out of a dead state. That is a soul complaint that comes out of the deadness of his condition. There is a great difference. Because we ask one another every day, how are you? Right, children, we say, how are you? One day you say, I'm not so well. Another day you say, I'm feeling very well. Another one is in the hospital. Someone else has a broken leg, broken arm. That is all the different conditions of persons who are alive. We speak about the different conditions of those who are alive. But we do not speak about different conditions in those who are dead, because their condition that remains the same. You say, well, their state is different. That is the state of death. And now David, he is complaining here. He is complaining with grief. Grief that is living in his soul. Thus, there is a great difference between his complaint and the speaking of the spiritually dead, because a dead man, he does not complain that his soul cleaves to the dust. Do you? Is that a grief to you? That your soul cleaves unto the dust? Is that a grief to you, children? Is that a grief to you that you say all the day long, my mind that does not think upon God? Is that a grief to you? Is that a grief to you that you say, my heart that is cleaving like moss to all the things in the world. I love the things that are in the world. And I do not love the Lord. It does not go out to him. Is that now a grief to you? Is it now a grief to you that your choice, maybe it is different for a day, for a week, when you make it your purpose, you are going to choose always the right things. And then, say, it goes back again. Goes back again. I get myself back again. Is that a grief to you? In a state of death, it is no grief. Because that is our life. It is our very happiness. It is our very joy. That our soul, that our thoughts, that our affections, and that our will, that is all cleaving to the things of this world, that is our whole life. We do not grieve about this. But it was different with David. But let us sing first. 123, 1, 2, and 3. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. All the stanzas of Psalter 123.
Thank you.
a living desire in the midst of a dead condition. First, the dead condition. Out of a dead state, a man has no desire to come, because there are no desires when a person is dead. But when that person is alive, but maybe in a dead condition, then it is, boys and girls, like a man who is sick, and he knows what it is to be healthy, and then he desires to be healthy again. And thus, there are desires, living desires, that are able to come up out of such a dead condition. David, he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Quicken, what does that mean? That means to revive me. That means to restore me. That is, that I may receive the fullness of that life once again. Thus, no, David does not deny that that life that was given unto me, that he cannot deny, but he says that I have degenerated so far, that it is like that life that is altogether gone. And when I am looking for it, that I cannot find it. My soul that is cleaving unto the dust, like a dead man. He says, my heart that is so inclined unto this world, and that life that is inclined unto the Lord, that is not even recognizable in me anymore. I am so loveless, I am so cold, I am so hard, like that nether millstone, my soul that is cleaving unto the dust. Oh, to read, to pray, oh, that is like that it was in that time that there were no desires, that has become in my life like a form, that has become so much of a custom. I remember when it was so different. Then my heart that is filled with joy and praise when we may go up unto the house of the Lord. Oh, I never thought that it could come to such a way as it is come now, that my soul could so cleave unto the dust again. And then there are those besetting sins. My soul, I feel it, that is cleaving to them, that I do not really want to get rid of each and every one of those Canaanites. The good that I would, I do not, and that evil that I would not, that I do. My will that is not in agreement with the will of the Lord, with the ways of the Lord. The affliction, oh, I would want to cast it from me. I am like Jonah sitting under that juniper tree. He did not want that affliction anymore for his people, that there would be enemies, that there would be those who would continue to, he would want to eradicate them all. Oh, then he could not agree that the Lord would spare the enemy, that it may still be the rod unto him. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. That is the complaint of David. You say, David, change it then. If you don't like the way it is, if you are so dissatisfied with yourself, then stir yourself up. That is like to tell the children of Israel when they were in the land of Babylon that they should release themselves out of that captivity. They didn't have any power to do this, and David did not either. And that is now that what the church is also feeling, and that is what the reason, that is the reason that that David is sending out this cry. It is a living complaint. It is a living cry. That is that the Lord would deliver him out of this condition. Oh, that he would be as that great physician, and that he would heal his soul Israel in Syria. They had no more power against the Assyrians than Israel did against the Egyptians. No, it is not an excuse for God's children. Far from that. But that church does not give life unto themselves, nor do they maintain that life for themselves. If the Lord does not maintain that work, then it is for them hopeless, because I can do nothing but destroy it. But now it is such a blessing, and it is such a good sign, when the Lord himself begins to come, and when the Lord himself begins to stir in the heart of that people, to give them once again a realization of that condition that they have slidden into, that they have wandered unto, and to give them once again that desire that they may be delivered from it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according unto the word, unto thy word. What is Jonas says? He said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet he says, I will look again toward thy holy temple. What do we read of Christ as that great bridegroom? Then he is coming when that bride, she is slumbering in the dust. And then the Lord, he is knocking. Open unto me, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And what does she say? She says, it is the voice of my beloved knocking. She hears it. He is knocking. She is sleeping. But her heart, she says, my heart is waking, because she hears a sound. And then what is the Lord doing? Then the Lord is coming again to cause her to remember the days of her youth, when he first drew her with those cords of a man, and with those bands of love. And then the Lord is coming to say so gently unto his people, to say, yet I have somewhat against thee. I have somewhat against thee, my people, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, the Lord is coming to hedge up her way with thorns, and to make a wall that she cannot find her paths. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband. For then it was better with me than now. And so that living complaint is coming up out of the deadness of the condition of that people, to complain before the Lord with that holy desire, my soul that is cleaving. Oh, that is not what I can change, but Lord, that is what thou canst change. Quicken thou me, restore thou me. That is now the fruit, that cry, that living complaint, that living desire, that is now the fruit of the Lord's own work. It is the fruit of his maintaining work, because the Lord, he can never forsake the work of his own hands. He is the Alpha. Is that ever your hope, young people, that the Lord is the Alpha? Did you ever try to seek the Lord? Do you know what the Lord says in his word? He says, seek, and you shall find. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ever tried to do that? How long did that last? A week? 2 weeks, month. And then, oh, and it was all gone again. Maybe sometime later, and it comes back to you. You say, I will try it again. And what do you find? Cannot do it. Cannot do it. Is that your experience? I don't ask if it is your excuse. Is it your experience? Then you know what becomes your only hope? Your only hope that becomes, you know what it says in the Lord's Word? The Lord says, I am the Alpha. I am the beginning. Then you know what you do? Then you go on your knees. And then you say, Lord, I'm dead. I am dead. I have a religion. And I pray. But I am dead. I'm spiritually dead. I cannot seek thee. I will not seek thee. I do not love thee. O Lord, wilt thou begin? And then you have a little hope. A little hope in the midst of your deadness, the state of death. Then you say, it is still possible because the Lord is the beginning. Do you know what sometimes gives God's people hope? When they feel this, my soul that cleaveth unto the dust, cleaves. Do you know what they think often? It's all gone. It's all gone. What I thought that I knew, what I thought I had experienced, was all nothing. It was from myself. It was all learned. Oh, there are such fears. And the Lord, He gives sometimes those little tokens. And that people, do you know what they can only hope on? They can only hope that the Lord, He will finish it. He will finish perfectly what He for me has undertaken. Because when I am left for one moment, I destroy it all. Because my soul that cleaveth unto the dust. And then they are begging the Lord, O quicken me. Quicken me according to thy word. According to the commands. Oh, they look at those commands again. And their soul that desires to live again in such a way. According, O Lord, to the promise that is in thy holy word. O quicken me according to that word. The Lord, He is giving repentance by renewal. And He is giving them to hope in that free, in that one-sided work. Oh, He is bringing again into the view of that people something of that blood. Something of what His only begotten Son has finished so completely upon that cursed tree, and that they may see something that it is not lying in them anymore. Oh, the hope of that people in the blessed mediator between God and man. Oh, congregation, does your soul cleave unto the dust? Does your mind cleave unto the dust? Do your affections, the love of your heart, does that cleave unto the dust? Are all your decisions, all the choice of your heart, you say, is that every day, every day, every day again, that is for the dust, for the dust, for the dust. What is gold? What is silver? You know what it is? It is dust. You know that, right, young people? You take chemistry in high school. Examine it. How is gold and silver different from all the other elements? All all made out of the same thing. Go a little deeper. And you can see how that the Lord, He has made everything just out of the dust. The truth of the Word of God that is all backed by science. Then there is no difference, actually, in the elements, in what is making up those elements, between all the things that are in this world. So gold and silver, what is it? It's all dust. What would you want? If I said to you young people, would you rather have a potato or a lump of gold? What would you choose? There are people in this world, they say, I'd rather have a potato because I am so hungry. That rich man in hell, you offered him gold. He didn't want gold anymore. Gold would do him nothing anymore. That is what he clave to in his life here upon this earth. And then he asked just for a drop of water. Just for a drop of water. Congregation, our soul that is by nature cleaving unto the dust. And we have no desire for anything else. But oh, do ask for it. Ask for it. Bury yourself in that holy word of God with a cry, with a supplication. Oh Lord, quicken thou my soul that I may love thee, that I may desire to meditate upon thee and thy word, and that my soul may make that good choice, and let the living complaint of that church, that true church of God, come up unto the Lord out of the deadness of their condition. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, that law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into that captivity of the law of my members. O wretched man that I am, quicken thou me according to thy word, because I have gone astray like a lost sheep. O Lord, seek thy servant. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art the great shepherd of thy people. Wilt thou bring them again? They cannot go lost. They cannot die because thou hast died. And thou livest, and they live also. And they shall live even forever and forever. Oh, that they may receive that a heartfelt cry, that thou wouldst quicken them again, and that thou wouldst do so, O Lord, also unto each and every one of us. Wilt thou humble us under all thou hast given in this hour, and wilt thou bless this little word, and wilt thou remember thy servant who hopes to go before us in this afternoon, and wilt thou help him from above, that we may feel that thou art also near, and that thou art present in our midst, that thou thyself would serve us out of thy fullness, and that we may eat and that we may drink. Wilt thou forgive and take away our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 423 stanzas 6 and 7. Ye lovers of the Lord, to Him all praise accord. Rejoice in your confession, and hate all base transgression. And what follows in 6 and 7 of Psalter 423. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.